Welcome to the Accredited Canadians Toolkit. It's Friday, January 19th, 2024. I'm your host, Sam Perrin. I read an article today by Jennifer Doughty of the Globe and Mail. I've linked it in the show notes. It was an interview article of CIBC economist Benjamin Tall. Of interest, he said the only reason we are not in recession now is because GDP growth is being propped up by population growth. I found this funny because it's this very population growth that's making all the negative headlines right now about how we need to restrict newcomers to Canada. I hope it's apparent that since immigration is the only thing keeping our economy from contracting, restricting immigration is the wrong approach. Most people would agree that growth of the economy is a good thing. And the fact is, we need people to make that happen. So rather than curtailing immigration, we should be building infrastructure to support it. Anyway, one of the first things Benjamin Tall talked about was a rally in the bond market and how he thinks it has come too early. Higher bond prices means lower yields. This means lower bond interest rates are expected by the bond market. If Mr. Tall is right, interest rates will remain high for the next 6 months, with central bank cuts starting mid-2024. He predicts very low growth to Canada's economy in the coming year. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned the bond market because I've come to understand that the bond market is the leading indicator of all things in the financial system. If you could decipher what the bond market activity means, then you know what's going to be coming next. I think that's because that the sentiment of these bond traders eventually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The bond market is the largest market in the world. It dwarfs the stock market and indeed the economies of most countries. Think about this. The global bond market is $133 trillion. The size of the U.S. bond market, which is the largest economy in the world, is $50 trillion. If you compare that to the other common financial metrics of the U.S., like the U.S. debt of $34 trillion, and the U.S. GDP of $23 trillion, you can see that the bond markets are the biggest and most important part of our financial system. Bonds are a reflection of how we choose to interact with each other, so I find it interesting how little the bond market is actually talked about and how misunderstood and misinterpreted bond markets can be by many people, and that includes me. I struggle to understand how the bond market actually works, but I'm going to share my findings below. So I'd welcome any comments about this. Please reach out to me. I'd love to learn and chat more about the bond market. So this part of the show is a bit of a tangent, but I believe it's worth saying. I think of the behavior of the people that make up the bond market as the first mover. So what I mean is, where in places where there's no bond market activity and no availability of debt, prices and economic activity are low. When people invest in debt, economic activity rises. It's similar to when you have a positive mindset. If I'm willing to loan someone money, then I have a positive mindset about that person's ability to pay it back. So it's similar to having a positive mindset. It will generally lead to positive results. If you have hope for the future, then you take actions today that might cascade into more positive results. If you fear for a bleak future, you won't take those initial actions. I think about how human agriculture was such a turning point in our evolution. The neighbors of those early farmers must have thought they were crazy because they were sacrificing food that they had right now in the hopes to yield more in the future. So I did some cursory Google searching just because I was curious about the return on investment on agriculture, just from a, you know, what inputs versus outputs. And in some cursory Google searching, I found that some crops are much higher yielding than others. For instance, some US sources I found cite that the average amount of seeds of corn planted per acre is approximately 30,000. So 30,000 plants will produce one or two ears of sweet corn each, and many more of different varieties. Each ear of corn has approximately 600 seeds. So if you ignore all the other input costs, this means that nature allows us to turn 30,000 seeds into up to 36 million seeds. That's 600 to 1,200 seeds for each corn seed planted. And that means the return on investment is huge. 60,000%. So with yields like that, it's no wonder that we have corn in virtually every processed food and even added to gasoline. Of course, not every seed you plant will germinate, and crops can be ruined by weather and pestilence. And there's labor costs and equipment costs and fuel costs, and the market that you sell your corn into is manipulated and subsidized. And if everyone has really good yields, that's going to drive down the price of grain. So then you're going to, it's being a farmer is tough. But if you're strictly trying to grow food for yourself, planting a little bit of your food will multiply it. That's become obvious. And my brother works as a farmer of sorts, and he tells me the average yield in agriculture is roughly 17%. So that's still pretty good. And the lesson for me in this is that actively cultivating hope for the future means you have energy for today. You'll take action today if you have hope for the future. And that's a saying that a dear friend and family member, one of my uncles, says all the time. Hope for the future gives you energy for today. So back to the bond market. It's the leading indicator of the economy. And something that was pointed out to me at a mastermind group recently was that the yield curve of the 2-year to 10-year bond has been inverted for a long time. And that tells us that there is a recession coming or underway, because every time there's ever been an inversion in the yield curve, there's been a recession, usually once it corrects itself. Some people are going to be caught by surprise by that recession that's coming, and this is going to create some distressed sellers. So I think now is the time to prepare to purchase from those distressed sellers and to buy up those distressed assets. So it's important now to make sure you're ready to move when those opportunities become plentiful. Opportunities are for optimists. Otherwise, they would be called pessimatuities. I hope you enjoy this episode of the ACT Show. The ACT Show is for today and tomorrow's high-value Canadians who, rather than let things happen, make things happen. You never know the value of a new idea in your future or for those that you care about. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can act by sharing it and subscribing to the show for new ideas in future episodes. Have a great day.